We come today to the end of our four-part series. We have considered together Judas's betrayal, Peter's denial, and last week, Jesus' prayer. Today, we consider Pilate's abdication. The abdication, that is, of his responsibility. Pilate's abdication. Apart from in relation to the trial of Jesus, which we find in all of the Gospels, and referred to again in the book of Acts, apart from these references, Pilate is only mentioned twice in the whole of the New Testament. And even then, really only in an incidental way. So at best, as the Bible has anything to go by, Pilate is nothing more than an extra, a minor character in this drama. And yet, if you go to the two great confessions of the church, which were worked out in these early centuries, both the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, then you find that there are only two people mentioned, not counting Jesus, of course, only two people, one being Mary, Jesus' mother, and the other being Pontius Pilate. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate. It strikes me that those early church fathers must have considered Pilate worthy of note for his part in the drama. So with that being the case, it seems to me that we should take some time to understand his role and to learn from it for ourselves in the living of our Christian life. Pilate was, of course, the Roman governor, the ultimate authority in Palestine, Judea, from 26 to 36 AD. He served under the Roman Emperor Tiberius. He was born in Italy on a date that is unknown. Unless that is you are fond of Scottish legend. Anybody know the small village of Fortingall in Glen Lyon in Perthshire? Well, if you go there, you will find a claim that Pontius Pilate was born in rural Perthshire, in the small village of Fortingall. Believe that if you like. I think it more likely that he was indeed born in Italy. And there he died in 37 AD in Italy. But apart from his part in the trial of Jesus, you will do well to find out anything at all about this man. And the fact of the matter is, he only appears in the scriptures because, as Roman governor, he alone had authority to pass the death penalty. If the Jewish authorities had had that authority themselves, they would have dealt with Jesus. Make no mistake about that. They would have done away with Jesus without recourse to the Roman authorities, without recourse to Pilate. And so, had the Jews been able to execute Jesus, I suggest that none of us would ever have heard of Pontius Pilate. But as you saw in the reading, at that time, the Jewish leaders did not have that authority. So they had to take him to Pilate, if indeed Jesus was to be executed. So those leaders of the Jews have conspired to have Jesus arrested, tried, and condemned. And now they have taken him to Pilate. I want you to note what happens here and to see the sheer hypocrisy of it. Might I say, the religious hypocrisy of it. This was taking place, of course, at the time of the Passover festival, a key event in the Jewish calendar. Now Pilate was a Gentile, and if those religious leaders of the Jews had gone into Pilate's palace, a Jewish house, they would have rendered themselves unclean, and thereafter would not have been able to take their part in all of the festivities around about the Passover festival. So here they are, sticklers for ceremonial purification and ritual, and yet happily engaging in lies, deception, treachery, false witness, and murder. Wow. What hypocrisy. Doing everything to ensure that they were clean on the outside while being darkened in their hearts. Elsewhere, Jesus makes it abundantly clear what makes a person unclean is what is in our hearts. So, though we might see this in those Jewish leaders, let's be absolutely on our guard that we ourselves, as much as it is humanly possible, avoid religious hypocrisy. Because, friends, of all kinds of hypocrisy, I think religious hypocrisy is the worst and gives off the biggest stench. Unfortunately, this man was back in the news again this week. Allegations against him, of course, but though some of it may form what we call allegations, other parts of it he has admitted to. Cardinal Keith O'Brien, for many years, the senior Roman Catholic cleric in Scotland. And a man who made it his personal crusade to campaign against same-sex marriage and on. But it now seems clear that from the mid-80s onwards, here was a man who was abusing his position and was confronting seminarians and young priests in a sexual way. The sheer hypocrisy of it. But even now, I don't want you to be thinking about him or others like him. I want us all to be aware that at any time any one of us is capable of hypocrisy and of religious hypocrisy. If our lives are made up of religious duty on the one hand, and I mean by that church attendance and everything that goes with it, and if on the other hand, our lives do not match up, then you had better take your place, and let me put it this way, we had better take our places alongside Cardinal O'Brien in absolutely relying on the mercy and the forgiveness of our Lord. Because to one or other degree, there is hypocrisy in us all. To some extent or another, there is hypocrisy in us all. And there are aspects of your lives, and you know this fine well, that you would not want right now displayed on those screens. Just imagine during this last week or so, there had been a videographer going around following you in every moment of your lives. You know there are moments that would have been recorded that you would not now want shown on the screen for us all to see. Some of the things that you did, some of the things that you said, and some of the things that you thought, and some of the things that you felt would have been less than bringing glory to God. We will sing of bringing glory to God, but our lives do not always do so. And so there was hypocrisy in those Jewish leaders. There is hypocrisy here, and there is hypocrisy alive and well among us all. So I don't stand here this morning wanting to condemn. I stand here with you all knowing that we need forgiveness and mercy. Let's go back into the story. The Jewish leaders present their case. But essentially, Pilate is not interested. It was to him a local matter. Just take it and deal with it yourselves. It's a religious case. He doesn't know anything about the ins and outs of their religion. Time and again, he makes this point to them. Look, it's not my business. Deal with it yourselves. Can't you sort it out? Now, at this point, really, Pilate should have dismissed the case. He should have said and held his ground, there is no case against this man. Free him. But here was a man who in the end bowed to pressure. Here was a man who in the end gave them what they wanted. Even so, he tried to make clear that he was having no part in it. Famously, of course, in Matthew's account of what happened, famously, washing his hands of it. Abdicating his responsibility in that moment. Because at that moment, Jesus' life was in his hands, whether he wanted it to be or not. Jesus' life or death was in his hands. And in that moment, he abdicated his responsibility. Folks, let me say one or two things about that. Number one, giving people what they want is often the easy way out. Now apply that to your lives. Giving someone what they want is often the easy answer. Number two, we bear responsibility even when we don't accept responsibility. Saying it's nothing to do with me doesn't mean it's nothing to do with you. We each have been given responsibility in life. Whether we choose to carry it or not, it's still our responsibility. Apply that to your lives. For example, on our doorsteps right here in our own town, there are people who are needy. When we turn our backs on them and say, it's not my problem, it's not my responsibility. And when we hear of desperate need in the developing world, and when we say, it's not my problem, then we abdicate the responsibility that the Lord lays upon us all. Third thing is this, doing nothing is doing something. You can't be a bystander in life and say, it wasn't me. When there is opportunity to do something for the good and you do nothing, you abdicated your responsibility. When you didn't speak up when you should have spoken up, you abdicated your responsibility. And to say, it wasn't me, I did nothing, won't wash. And fourth is this. You can always wash your hands. But how are you going to clean your heart? Because that's where the dirt really is. That's where the dirt builds up. Oh, you can wash your hands. But how are you going to wash your hearts? And there is only one who can do that for us. And he's the one of whom the crowd shouted, crucify him! And so Pilate gave him up to be crucified. That's the history. That's his story, Pilate's story. He gave him up. He gave him up to be crucified. But get this. It is yours and mine, our sinfulness, that has him hanging there. Pilate has responsibility. Pilate bears that responsibility. It's why the Apostles' Creed names him. But every single one of us has responsibility. It was my sin that held him there. It was my sin that held him there. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of seeing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin a
upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, my pardon he accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom, but I can boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from all of this? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
The next time you have cause to wash your hands, it will be sometime today. As you do so, ask him to cleanse you within. Dirty hands, at worst, might lead to some kind of infection or bug. Dirty hearts lead to death. Spiritual death. Eternal death. Ask him to cleanse your heart. Because this Easter story is all about that. That he died and rose again to clean your heart. And there is no one but no one in church today whose heart is that dirty that his death will not clean. And there is no one in church today whose heart is sort of only a little bit dirty and you're telling yourself, I don't need clean. There's no one in church today who is in that category. We all need cleansing. As we finish then, let's for a moment back up to Palm Sunday, to two things that we read there. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead. This is Luke's version. Went on ahead, and right after this, the Palm Sunday events unfold. Jesus went on ahead. Friends, I want you to remember that for every day of your lives. For everything that you are going to face in your life from this day on, I want you to remember, he's gone ahead. Therefore, you will not be alone. He is ahead of you, every step of the way. Be reassured. Trust. Take confidence. He's gone ahead. In life. And friends, be the assured, in death also, he has gone ahead. There's nothing that you face no fate that he has not taken upon himself. So he went on ahead, and still he goes on ahead. take comfort and be reassured. And finally this, as his disciples were instructed what was to be done, they were told, go on ahead to the village, and there you will find a colt tied up. Bring it to the master, to the Lord. And they asked him, but what if somebody says, why are you taking it? It's ours. Say to them, just this, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. And that's what they said to the owners of the colt, the donkey. It belonged to them, but they said to them, the Lord needs it. In your life, what might it be that the Lord needs? What might it be that you consider is yours? Like for them, the donkey, the colt, it's ours, but the Lord needs it. What might it be of yours, of which today the Lord is saying, I need it? And in the days remaining in your life, how might it be that the Lord will come? In what way might it be that you will hear a voice saying to you, the Lord needs it? Will it be of your time? Will it be of your talents? Will it be of your financial resources? In what way will the Lord come to you? And will you open your ears that you might hear that voice? Shona, the Lord needs it. Lynn, the Lord needs it. Dave, the Lord needs it. Marie, the Lord needs it. What might it be? Tanya, the Lord needs it. Margaret, the Lord needs it. Margot, the Lord needs it. Fraser, the Lord needs it. Gareth, the Lord needs it. And when he calls, as they gave up their colt, will you give up your life for him? Let's pray.